In this late hour, when the love of many is waxing cold, you and I can rejoice to know that God never changes, and that Jesus Christ dwells in a light that no man can approach. He is pure, and he is holy, and he is ever ready to receive and forgive and redeem and restore all who call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. I want you to remember that truth, that promise from God. Whoever you are or wherever you may find yourself, you may need, let me rephrase that, we all need to call on the name of the Lord and we shall be saved. Not just an empty verbalization of the name of the Lord, but a calling on him in sincere repentance and faith. And Jesus will answer by blessing any and all of us who would call upon him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's pure and holy and sinless, and he loves you. If you can hear my voice, my friend, there's a lot of falsehood flying in this last day. It's blowing through the church world. As Paul warned us in Ephesians 4, where the ungrounded are moved about and blown around by every wind of doctrine that blows through the church. It's just unbelievable. It's really not, because we anticipated it through the prophetic truth of the Lord, where Jesus said the love of many is going to wax cold in the last days. And he is, let me remind you, the faithful witness. Amen. He witnessed to this in Matthew 24, and so did his apostles, coincidingly speak prophetically that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But Jesus is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. Then he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And isn't it good to know, friends, that we can call on the Lord? He's unchanging. I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord. I change not. You can be sure that God will never change. In fact, Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 and verse 10 there in Psalm 46 says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Again, be still and know that I am God. Friend, is this an hour whereby God is calling you to be still and to come before him and to seek his face and to cry out to him to root and ground you in Christ in such a way that you could never be uprooted? That involves and he requires your individual participation in this matter. I love 1st Chronicles 16, verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, have you been saved, my friend? If so, he's talking to you. As ye have, he's talking to the body of Christ. Wherever you may find yourself today, he's talking to you, if you've truly been born again. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. We are to be rooted and built up in Christ. Amen. And that cannot happen without our individual personal attention and involvement. It's a two-way relationship. We are not working for, because he did that on the cross, but we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you glad to know that God is working in you as you walk with Christ in an abiding fellowship, receiving the vital, life-giving, heavenly virtue from God every day, straight from the throne of God, as you lift up the Lord Jesus? In fact, that's exactly what we see here in Colossians 2. Also, a little bit further down, it says, and not holding the head, this is verse 19 of the same chapter, Colossians 2. Now, let me stop and encourage you to study and read through Colossians chapter 1 and 2, and you may want to do that repeatedly. You can't get too much of the Word of God, amen? In fact, you can't get enough of it, and we must ask ourselves, how is the Word of God going to get into me if I don't get into it? Well, the answer is obvious. It's not. But as we get into the Word of God, our spirits are going to be nutrified, given the heavenly nutrients, the nourishment, as we see in this verse, of God to strengthen us and establish us and root us and ground us more and more, ever more deeply in Christ. Amen? And that's what we read there. In Colossians 2, 6, and 7, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding, amen, abounding therein with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your beautiful, precious, sinless blood on the cross for our sins. And we are not our own. We're bought with the price of your precious blood, whereby you washed away all our sins, on redeeming us and regenerating us, whereby we were born again and made new creatures in Christ, where all things, old things, are passed away. And now all things are of God and all things are made new. And we give you glory for that, Lord, because you single-handedly died on that cross to redeem us. And Father, we thank you that you were in Christ reconciling the world unto yourself through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. Verse 19 of Colossians 2. And he's talking about false teachers here. In chapter 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is establishing the absolute, utter uniqueness of Christ and how he is the firstborn of every creature and that he is the creator of all things. All things were made by him and for him. And he upholds all things by the power of his word. Amen. Chapter 1 teaches. And he is the head of the body. Only Jesus Christ, the nail-scarred, risen Savior, who said, it is finished on that cross, and completed redemption perfectly, as only he could do, to satisfy the claims of the Father's justice to redeem fallen mankind. That's you and I. He alone is supreme and unique in all of history and able to save us and keep us, yet he requires our individual participation in this relationship. Anybody who tells you that once you got saved, you are always saved no matter what, is what Jude calls an ungodly man who is turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or a license to sin. Beware of such a man, and we are to earnestly contend against such people, such ungodly men, Jude verse 3 and 4, who are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or a license to sin. Now here he's talking about those who would seduce you, literally uses that word in verse 4, and he tells you to beware of them here in Colossians 2, 8, and then here's verse 19, and not this is what they do. They're not holding the head, capital H. They're not upholding Christ. I want you to really capture this truth, friend. And I know some of you may be driving right now and not able to look at your Bible, and please don't try that while you're driving. But I want you to remember Colossians chapter 1 and 2, and I want to encourage you to pore prayerfully over these two chapters. And notice here in verse 19 of the second chapter, Colossians 2:19, that the false teachers are not upholding Jesus Christ, the head of the body, from which all the body... Are you a member of the body, beloved? Okay, notice, they're not upholding the head, Christ, exalting him, amen, in spirit and in truth. In other words, according to the Holy Ghost and by his empowerment and his teaching through the Holy Scriptures, amen, they're not upholding the head, Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. You see, because there are so many false prophets, which Jesus and his apostles repeatedly warned us about. For example, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, I believe it is, he says, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Okay, now he's talking there about the last days, which I started speaking about earlier, and how the love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity or sin will abound. But yet, there's no preaching on sin and on repentance. There's no powerful Holy Ghost teaching. And let me tell you, if you know the Lord, you know this to be true. In the modern apostate church that meets in buildings, now I'm not saying a building is wrong, but most of what's going on, if you're a Bible student, you know this, in the buildings that claim to be the church is not full of the Holy Ghost and the pure Word of God. Amen. They're not making disciples. They're not bringing you all the way through the Word and letting God teach you as they navigate through the Word of God. They're too busy entertaining, etc. And therefore, the body, that includes you if you're a member of the body of Christ, is not receiving the nourishment of God from heaven and not increasing with the increase of God, which can only happen through the Word of God. Amen. That is your spiritual food, is the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. There's no way that you and I can grow as believers if we're not feasting on the Word of God. Amen. And that's what Jeremiah said. He said, thy words were found, hallelujah, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Amen. Now, when God's word gets in you, it's going to be the joy and the rejoicing of your heart. Amen. Now, let me encourage you to realize, friend, if you're walking in depression, I know we all go through hard times. Trust me that I've been through some hard times. Amen. And it was singing a song to the Lord. It was getting more in his word that caused the strength of God to rise up in me. Amen. Somebody says, well, I'm busy. Well, let me say this, friend. If you're too busy to get up in the morning and put God first, then you're just too busy. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things has consumed your life. And therefore, God is calling you to repent, to return to him. The word return is used in the Old Testament. In specific, I think it's Hosea 14, 1 through 3. We are to return to the Lord. What does that mean? Think about it for just a minute. Return. We all know that the word or the R-E preface there means re or do it again. Amen? We are to turn again to the Lord. Amen? I'm talking to the body of Christ, so that would mean at some point you were walking with the Lord. You were born again. And perhaps he's saying, and I really don't know if there's any of us that this wouldn't have apply to, right? Amen. He says this, Hosea 14, 1 and 2 and 1 and 2. O Israel, that just simply means my people, return unto the Lord. Turn again to the Lord. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. There is a lot in that, okay? The wages of sin is still death, amen? God is holy, holy, holy. And you cannot have a relationship with him if you have unconfessed sin. It doesn't matter who teaches otherwise. That's what the Bible teaches. So you must turn again to the Lord and from your iniquity. Because you have fallen by thine iniquity, you have to choose to say, Lord, this iniquity I've been committing is very pleasurable, but I am going to choose to love you more than I do myself. And therefore, I am going to seek your face in repentance right now. I am going to turn my life over to you afresh, saying, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, if never before, I call upon you to rescue me, to save me, to wash me clean in the blood of Jesus afresh. I turn unto you, O Lord, and I say that I'm now all yours, and I know that you're all mine, and I'm asking you to fill me with the Holy Ghost afresh and purify this vessel, which is your vessel, because I'm no longer my own. I'm yours. I'm bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. Now, Lord, anoint me to the crucifixion, the death and burial of self, that you alone might reign. And I'm asking you to reign in me and use me to help others. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we turn again to the Lord from our iniquity. Lukewarmness is wickedness. It's iniquity and it's evil. Obviously, because Jesus said if you're lukewarm, he's going to reject you in the end. And he's talking to the body of Christ. Make no mistake. That's the last of the seven churches. And the first one, he says they had left their first love, the Ephesians. And he says, you got to repent and return to your first love and do the first works. In other words, do the same simple biblical works that you did when I saved you. What did you want to do? You wanted to tell everybody you knew how wonderful I am, and how I washed all your sins away. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what happened to me on a personal level, folks. I had been a Roman Catholic, altar boy, Catholic school, etc., and I knew immediately upon all of my sins being washed away in the blood of Jesus, when I repented and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I knew I had been lied to my whole life. And I rejoiced, and the Holy Ghost moved upon me to share the good news, the gospel, with those around me. And everyone who's been born again has seen this same thing in their life, because they were made new. Old things were passed away, and all things were now become new upon being born again, regenerated. It was an instant justification because it was paid for by Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, and it's nothing we can earn. It has to be imputed or accounted to us, credited to us through the perfect sacrifice of Christ's blood. Amen. So Hosea says, you have fallen by your iniquity, so return again to the Lord. Take with you words, Hosea 14:2, and turn to the Lord. Come before the Lord with words in your praying and your repentance. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn again to the Lord today, friend. I'm not going to be long here. I'm closing now. The Lord is available to you. And the scripture says, I believe it's Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There's soon coming an hour when the Lord will not be available to the sinner. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abide. abundantly pardoned. Amen. That's the good news. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise that is inestimable in value for you and I. And yet, there are literally billions of souls who are incarcerated in the bowels, the fiery bowels of eternal damnation. It's a place the Bible calls hell, who will never have another breath to breathe on this earth to say, Jesus, save me. They will never have the opportunity to be saved again. And yet, if you're listening to me, it's obvious that you still do have the opportunity to be saved. But let me tell you, friend, if you let this moment pass and you don't call upon the Lord in repentance to return to Him, you may regret it. You're not promised another minute. God doesn't owe you anything, and He's given you everything by giving you His only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. We owe a debt we cannot pay. Jesus paid a debt He did not owe. And as Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation that God would bankrupt heaven and crucify His only begotten Son for your sins, and that you would have a message like this calling you to repentance and trust in Christ, to call upon Him, and that you would reject it. God forbid, my friend. God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar, including and beginning with yourself. For today, the scripture says, is the day of salvation. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. The final warning here, and I'll say it again as I read this passage as we close, Matthew 24, verse 10 through 13. And then shall many be offended, Jesus said. He warns of these final days in which you and I live. Many shall be offended because of the persecutions, because of the false doctrines and the false prophets. He goes on, many shall be offended. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Are we not seeing that all around us already? And shall hate one another, and many, not a few, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. They can only deceive those who aren't seeking God in His word and in prayer and in praise and thanksgiving and enjoying and experiencing an abiding relationship with Him, and therefore being rooted and grounded in Christ. They can't deceive those, the very elect, amen. The elect are those who are in this hour electing to put God first and to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. Jesus has a question for you. Are you loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you loving self? It's one or the other. Who's reigning on the throne of your heart, friend? See, that's the only people that are going to be deceived by these many false prophets who shall deceive many. Then He says, and because iniquity shall abound. You know, sin has never been more broadcast and available to us than it is now. And because iniquity shall abound. You see, you're caught up in it only because you're not entrenched and rooted and grounded in Christ, because you've chosen not to be. Somebody, that applies to somebody listening to me right now. And you want to make excuse for your sin and somehow believe this. You've created a God in your own image by saying that somehow God understands your sin. Well, he understands that you're depraved and you're a sinner. He also understands that he uttered that you've got to lay down your life, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You've got to lose your life in this world. You've got to count him more important than every person, including and beginning with yourself, or you are an idolater. You're a self-idolater. You love self. You don't love the Savior. And you're not with him. You're against him. Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, how could that possibly be anyone except those who once had their love, their first love, as Christ? That's exactly who he's talking to. The love of many shall wax cold. Now, how could somebody's love wax cold if it weren't hot in the first place? That would be impossible. And then he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, friend, that's about all I can say right now, is to give you the word of God and encourage you and pray in the name of Jesus, because God knows who you are, that you will seek the face of the Lord and do whatever it takes, including fasting and prayer, which God's word teaches, to overcome, to cut off any hand and pluck out any eye of any sin that is causing you to offend God, who is holy, holy, holy. Thank you for listening. This is Todd, and we encourage you to visit and enjoy the resources on SafeguardYourSoul.com.